I'm Dave Wallner from Reaching Out Ministries. I'm putting the trumpet to my mouth, calling for the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Look at that gathering.
Over the years as a Christian, when I studied the Bible, I realized that God wants you to go on once you're born again. Once you're settled in your heart that you belong to Christ, you need to move on and find out what the Lord wants from us. He has made us kings and priests unto himself, and we're supposed to be the reconcilers that reconcile people unto God. He has given us this job. And we need to understand that God has given us the power. He has given us the gift and the tools to do that. And one of the most amazing gifts he has given us is the power to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to even raise the dead. But in today's churches, in today's Christianity, it seems like that the true church is divided between two camps. Those who don't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, they say that it went out with the apostles, and those who practice it and believe it and experience it. So we need to understand God will one day have to reconcile all of us. He'll have to bring us together. And I believe that will be done by God pouring out his Spirit on all flesh, just like he did in the day of Pentecost, when he started the church by pouring out his Spirit on the disciples. God wants us to understand that this, what we're doing here, the time we're here on this earth, we have a job to do, and we need to bring people into the kingdom. This is the end game of what God is doing, is to bring as many into the kingdom as possible. Now, we have teachers that teach that whoever is going to be saved will get saved. In other words, whatever happens, it's the will of God, and God will make sure that it happens. Well, I got a question here. The Lord is willing that none perish, but I know for a fact there's a lot of people that are perishing. So God has given us the big job of reconciliation. The problem is many Christians today view the Bible as this. It is a book where we can find salvation. But all the rest of it is just nice stories to read. And I know people who are like that. They think that it's just nice stories to read. As long as you have your salvation, the rest is up to God. You do not have to do anything anymore as far as building the kingdom is concerned. Well, at the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord God will want some answers. And we need to study the Bible on what our responsibility is. Is the Bible still today as it was yesterday? Has anything changed? Do the rules still apply? Are the commandments still there for us to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Yes, of course, it's still there. It hasn't changed. As we see this pandemic flowing back and forth amongst the people who make the laws, they can't decide what law to pass and what to do. Today they pass this law, the next day they take it away. It's such a confusing mess that we, the children of God, need to inquire of God on how to handle this thing so that we can be at peace. We need to ask him on what's going to happen so that we can have a joy in our hearts, because we are seeing many, many people being led into deception. So God in this end time has given us the power to become that difference that is on this earth. So I want to teach today on the interesting subject of what we have to do, what is our responsibility. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name, and I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open the hearts of the people to the signs of the times. I thank you for your grace, and I ask you to anoint this message and bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. On this program, I will share with you, the listener, some of my experiences I've had in operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. For those of you who have been listening to me over radio or over the internet through YouTube will understand that I have been involved in a ministry called Deliverance. It's the Deliverance ministry where you cast out devils, you give words of knowledge, and God wants us to have direction for our lives. Well, these experiences that are in the Bible, they have been proven to us that the human being can experience them. They are for all of us who are called born again by the Spirit of God. For we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Thus we qualify to experience the power of God in our life. Before I was really a Christian for very long, I started to experience these incredible powers that God wanted me to have. I was able to speak in tongues, pray in tongues, before I knew that it wasn't for the Christian today. I was praying for people to get healed before I knew that these things went out with the apostles. It is very, very interesting how God will show you these things and you'll experience them. And then you listen to some prominent preacher that is very famous who is coming against these gifts of the Spirit. That's one thing I could never understand. Why a person who has just become born again, who has been a Christian for maybe a year, experiences the presence of God, the gifts of the Spirit, the praying in tongues. And then you listen to a preacher that's been preaching for 30, 40, 50 years, and he come against those gifts. How can he miss it? How can he himself not have the experience if he has the relationship with Jesus? This is one thing I cannot understand. How can a man, how can a woman, a born-again believer, not have these experiences if they have a relationship with God? In Isaiah chapter 28 in verse 9, I may have an answer for you. Who shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. If you're not sure of your salvation yet, if you're still trying to figure out whether you're saved, you're not drawn from the breast. You haven't been weaned yet. So maybe this is why you do not have these experiences. If a person doesn't know he's born again, then these experiences could be pretty detrimental to him because Satan can twist them around and can accuse that guy of operating in witchcraft. This is how it works. God wants you to understand and know for a fact that you belong to him before he will start using you. So I want you to understand this. God wants us to be ready for the battle. In Hebrews chapter 5 in verse 13, it tells us this. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So if you're into the gift of the Spirit, you have your senses exercised in that department. So then strong meat belongs to you because you have been weaned from the breast. That is as simple as scripture can make it. But if you're fighting against the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're listening to those teachers who are against it, then you may even have a demonic problem. This is what I call it, a demonic problem, a religious spirit that is keeping you from reaching out to the high calling of God that God has for your life. Listen to Matthew chapter 18, verse 26. Jesus was in the boat with his disciples when a terrible storm came up, and they were afraid, and they woke him. And then he said unto them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? He then arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. What was Jesus trying to teach them? That they can do the same thing that he is doing. And of course, we know the disciples, after the Holy Spirit came upon them, they understood what he meant, and they did great and incredible things in the Spirit. The power of God was flowing through them. They raised the dead, they healed the sick, they cast out devils. You read in the New Testament of how the Apostle Paul operated, how the disciples operated. They were even translated from place to place in some cases where God had need for that. And today we say, this is, many say, this has gone out with the apostles. They allow the weather to destroy them. They allow disease to destroy them. Many resign themselves and say, whatever happened, that's the will of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord takes away. Yes, that happened in the book of Job. But what God was trying to teach Job is a relationship that he needed to have with God instead of being fearful of what's going to happen with his family. How many people today are fearful that their children are not going to get saved? You need to have a relationship with God so God can show you how much he loves your children, and then you will understand that your children will enter into the kingdom of God because your love for God and his love for your children will determine that fact. How can he do that? By changing their minds and changing their hearts. If he can change the mind of a despot government, he can change the mind of your child. That's how God operates. It's we, the parents, that need to stand in the gap and pray for them and seek God for them. So God wants us to even get to the point where we can change the weather. That has been an experience of mine in a few cases. Does it work all the time? Well, I'm definitely working towards it. I've had some very nasty weather come my way here where I live. And I have asked the Lord twice already to move that evil weather, to not let it come near my place. And guess what? A mile or two down the road, all the hydro posts were knocked down for a mile, for a distance of a mile or two. And that happened twice already. Yes, I was out of power for 10 hours, but that's beside the point. My place was safe. There was no damage, but the hydro poles were all knocked down. So, was my prayer sufficient? Yes, it was. Could it be a coincidence? Well, maybe, but I prayed and it worked. So that's what we need to do. God wants us to start understanding that we have the power to do these things. In James chapter 5, in verse 17, it tells us, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, Elias was a man like we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So what the Bible is teaching us here through James chapter 5 is that Elijah the prophet was just like we are. We're the same flesh and blood. We're the same God kind as Elijah was. We have been created in God's image. We have been saved through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have that same power. And we need to take it to heart that God wants us to start using it. So open your heart to these things. If you will dare to ask God and challenge him, he will show you very quickly. But if you fight against it, if you look at it with sarcasm, you may have the experience of God passing you by. Even though you're saved, your salvation depends on the blood of Jesus, but your experience with God depends on you going out and getting them. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
When the harvest has been gathered and all my work is done, when the last mile is traveled and I've sung that the blood of Calvary speak for me.
May it write me down as righteous where no righteousness has been, shielding me from wrath and judgment as it covers all my sin. There's no work that I've accomplished, nor my goodness would I be. Just let the blood of Calvary speak for me. There's no work that I've accomplished, nor my goodness would I plead. Just let the blood of Calvary speak for me. Just let
When I study the Christian world today, I can clearly see that God must be heartbroken. It is a shame in how the church operates today. They totally disregard the instructions of the Bible and allow Satan to walk all over them. I remember watching a video of a tornado in the States coming through there in, I think it was in Oklahoma, and destroying houses left and right. And a total mess. The debris was scattered all around. And the Christians were holding hands and singing Amazing Grace. I actually couldn't believe it. What was there to praise God about? Everything was destroyed. Yes, they had their life. Maybe that's why they were praising God, because they weren't destroyed. But if they weren't destroyed, God could have kept their houses from being destroyed if those Christians would have known their rights and God's willingness to save their houses. I have read testimonies of Christians who saw tornadoes coming towards their houses, and they called upon God, and those tornadoes would turn aside. Yes, when you study and read of testimonies from people of Africa, how they stand in the gap for bad weather, for evil diseases, even raising the dead, God is using them. But here in North America, half of the church mocks that power and tells us God doesn't operate that way. When I see these mockers, when I listen to them on YouTube, I cannot contain myself. I wonder, how does God feel in his heart? I will not judge them. I will leave the judgment up to God. But let me tell you, from what I feel, I pity them, because there's going to have to be some explanation. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 32, "And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Japheth, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, brought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of the lions, quenched the violence of fire." Listen to this. "Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turning to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, rise to life again. And others, it says, were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." Why did those people rather die than stand there and rebuke those who killed them? Because they saw heaven. Just like Stephen. I believe Stephen, the first martyr in the Bible, he saw Jesus getting up out of his seat, getting ready to fight for him. I believe Stephen could have struck them blind, all those who were there to kill him. But he chose to go to be with God. He saw heaven open and he said, I'm out of here. God forgive them for what they're doing. The Apostle Paul once had a similar experience. And he told that person who was out to stand against him, you child of Satan, you will not see for a season. So Paul understood he had work to do and he wasn't going to bow to the devil. And this is what we need to understand and do in these days. We see the way everything is operating. We, the Christians, have the power and we have the authority to change governments. We know what the governments are doing. They're shutting down the churches. We can get on our knees and we can determine what they're going to do next by calling out to God to change their minds or removing them completely so that somebody else can take over and do something. Yes, God is trying to show us through this so-called pandemic that we have the power in us to change things. Yes, when we study, when we look at the news, we know that virus was man-made. It was designed to bring people into bondage. And we, the people, have been placed here on this earth to combat it and bring people into freedom. So we need to open our hearts to these interesting truths. God is not mocked. We will reap what we sow. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1, it tells us, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And that is God telling us, those that went before us, they see what's happening. They see how we're operating. They see what we're doing. Can you imagine King David sitting there and watching us cowering in fear as these things are coming to pass? It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for his bride. His bride can be victorious if they will only dare to take up the challenge. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to those around you. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. You can also reach us online at reachingoutministries.com. That's reachingoutministries.com.